Hello, and welcome to Season 6 of Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Today we have with us Sharon Doran from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi.
Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we met you way back when you were here in Ann Arbor and your husband was going to med school and, you know, you were teaching and doing various things and having your first couple children.
Yep.
Who knew that you'd end up in Omaha, Nebraska and what you'd be doing? And what you're doing is you're teaching a Bible study called Seeking Truth, Catholic Bible Study. There's quite a few people coming to it, isn't it?
People are hungry. People are so hungry for God's word, and it's such a privilege.
Pope Benedict published a document on sacred scripture called Verbum Domini, and he has this particular encouragement for women to be teaching scripture. I just want to read it here. It says, here I would like to highlight the recommendations of the Synod concerning the role of women in relation to the Word of God. Today, more than in the past, the feminine genius, to use the words of John Paul II, has contributed greatly to the understanding of Scripture and to the whole life of the Church, and this is now also the case with biblical studies. The Synod paid special attention to the indispensable role. Not many of us are indispensable, but there's an indispensable role here, played by women in the family, education, catechesis, and the communication of values. They have an ability to lead people to hear God's word, to enjoy a personal relationship with God, and to show the meaning of forgiveness and of evangelical sharing. Even though it's like a Bible study, all these other things happen too, don't they?
That's
people
right.
are led into a relationship with God and forgiveness. And
well,
like
I just wanted to honor, you know, this feminine genius that John Paul talked about. When Father at the Archdiocese of Omaha, when they asked me to do this, I said, is it okay for a woman to teach men? Because I knew how Timothy, what he had said, and Father said, that's in the liturgy, but this is different. And then the Pope came out with this, and it just touched my heart. Like, thank you, Pope Benedict, for allowing women to break open the Word of God. Yeah. It's just such a privilege and honor. And that to me just kind of just spoke right to my heart.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit how you got involved in teaching scripture.
Well,
as a mother of five.
Yeah.
As a wife and mother.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I go back to the beginning a little bit?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
I was born in a family in Grand Island, Nebraska, with seven children. My father was Polish. My mother was German. And I just remember when Pope John Paul when the smoke turned and my dad said, we've got a new Pope. And he's Polish, because my dad was Polish. And tears were streaming down his face.
Oh.
And he had all his kids gathered us all in the kitchen. We knelt down on the linoleum floor. We got out our rosary and we just prayed. And he said, we have a Polish Pope. He was beaming with joy.
Wow.
And so and my dad always would sit in his rocker chair with his Bible. My dad loved God's word.
You know, Sharon, I got to say something. I was at the beatification of John Paul II. My wife and myself were in Rome during the beatification. Yeah. And we were so impressed by the Polish people came. They most of them couldn't afford to stay overnight. So they arrived the evening before the beatification, train load after train load after train load. They'd walk from the train station and they'd sleep on the ground and they'd have their Polish flags out. And it was just like hundreds of thousands of Polish people came. And it was just so inspiring to see the faith. I could just imagine how your father felt.
Oh, he was beaming. And so anyway, I just grew up with a father who loved God's word. And I'd watch him every day read his Bible, and he would make these connections. He knew it was unitive between the old and the new. There wasn't Google. There wasn't all these commentaries and all. He sat with his Bible every day. And my mother would sit with her rosary.
Wow.
And so we grew up just in a family of prayer. Okay, so then when we moved to Ann Arbor, I was hungry for God's word. I was away from family for the first time. My husband was doing a residency at University of Michigan.
He was really busy,
wasn't
he?
Home.
Yeah, yeah.
The nurses were on strike. It was transplant. Yeah. Anyway, so someone invited me to a Bible study, and I thought, well, they had a program for kids, and they would teach your kids, you know, I could actually complete a sentence with women. And I actually met your wife. She was in my first discussion group. I sat next to a woman named Ann Martin, and I listened to the wise wisdom of these women that had studied God's word, and I fell in love with God's word. I couldn't get enough of it, and did that for 6 years, moved to Nebraska. And this program wasn't in Nebraska. There was nothing like it. So I prayed to the Lord, and I told other women, women, we need to get a Bible study. We need to be in God's word. His promises, we can stand on, they're true. And anyway, just started praying about that, and ended up, I was a runner, and my leg was hurting, and a lump was growing.
I remember when you used to run around our neighborhood with one of your babies in a running stroller, and you were running with yes, your newborn.
Yes, I couldn't miss a day of running. I love to run. I just run to the, you know, and then we had another baby. We got the double jogger, and I would run those kids down to the river and back, and just running. I loved it. But then I get this lump in my leg, and it starts growing. I'm pregnant with another child. I'm pregnant with child number four. I had a third boy. Had a first boy, second boy, third boy, pregnant. And this lump grows, and it grows, and it grows. And before we know it, it's about the size of a grapefruit. And it just sprouted off my femur bone. And the doctor, after several tests, they found out it was cancer. It was a sarcoma. And they said they'd need to amputate the leg at the groin after the baby was born.
Wow.
And the cells were multiplying quickly during the pregnancy. So it was just like, oh, do I trust you, Lord? And I knew I could be a good mom on one leg. I knew. I could.
Yeah.
That'll be the end of my running days.
Yeah.
And it was. And my skiing days and my water skiing and my snow. We were an active family. And I played volleyball and basketball and college. It was all going to go. Do I trust you, Lord? And they gave me a 50-50 chance to live because sarcoma likes to go to the lungs. And one doctor at University of Nebraska said, maybe we could do a limb salvage. And I said, what would that be? And he said, well, you have long legs, and maybe we could just cut out 15 inches of your femur bone, and then we would cut out your fibula bones, the fibula of your left leg, the fibula of your right leg, and then we could cut out the iliac crest of both your hips, the left and right, and we could rebuild with the fibulas. And I said, oh, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, my goodness.
But I signed the waiver, and he said, if we can't get the bleeding stopped, we will have to amputate. So I didn't know when I woke up if I had the leg or not.
Yeah.
But they were able to do that. So
that's major reconstruction, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a 10-hour surgery, several 9 units of blood. I mean, it was yeah. very...
Yeah,
just
major.
You know, and my husband, who's a neurosurgeon and tells people every day they have cancer, I mean, he was a puddle on the floor. And it was like, do we trust you, Lord? Do we trust you? Do we trust you?
Yeah.
And really, not that I trusted him so much at that time, and I did, but I didn't know. I didn't have any choice. I was out of control, and I had to surrender to the Lord. Yeah. And then it was 7 months of healing in a bed at home, 7 months of laying there with
your kids.
Yeah, four little boys. I had a little boy, Peter was born, and then they took me to amputate the leg, maybe.
Yeah.
So what the doctor said, he said, whatever you do, Sharon, whatever you do, don't even think about getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Next appointment, I went and I said, doctor, we followed your orders. I did not even think. We didn't even think about it because God had another plan, and I was pregnant. I had done an EPT test in my kitchen and it turned positive.
Wow.
And there were the tears. There was really like, do I trust you, Lord? Four little boys.
Yeah.
I can't move on this limb. I'm on crutches. I'm in a bed for 7 months and I'm pregnant again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I looked at my husband. We just prayed and we said, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you.
Wow.
Do I really trust you? Because they said, that, you know, that you, now if this goes to your lungs in a pregnancy, you got 9 months, the cells grow fast. Do we trust you, Lord? And then I knew God had a plan. God had a plan, and I figured it out. He was going to give me a girl.
Oh.
And on that last push, they said, it's a boy. And that boy is named John Paul.
Oh.
After Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
And he was born in the millennium, year 2000, Jubilee year.
Yeah.
And he's a gift from God. And I said, Johnny, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life, just like Sarah and Hannah and Elizabeth. And Mary, wombs that weren't supposed to bear.
Yeah.
God had a different plan. Man's plans were thwarted and God's plan came to fruition.
Yeah.
And Johnny, God has a plan for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You were really brought through some absolutely like testing situations, weren't you? I mean, like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to understand. It was hard to believe. And yet somehow you just kind of kept trying to turn it over to God and trust
the, you know. The suffering and the people from, we were new in Omaha, and people, women from church would bring me the Eucharist every day while I laid in that bed. And I could take the Lamb of God, and that was my strength. I couldn't even eat. I couldn't eat. They had to wash my hair in bed. I couldn't. I was on that fragile graft and pregnant again. Yeah. I mean, it was just the suffering. And
you couldn't put weight on the leg or the graft would be destroyed.
I was in a big brace and double crutches and four little boys and in a new town. And it's just like, Lord, and what he taught me through that suffering, you know, just like just being refined through fire and surrender and saying, Lord, be it done unto me according to your word.
Yeah.
Truly. And I said before that surgery, I said, Lord, if you give me life, if you let me live, I will tell anyone I know about your word.
Mm-hmm. Well,
watch out. He remembered that. He remembered that. Yeah. So after this, this woman calls and she's moving from Michigan and she had been in this other Bible study and she said, could we start praying for a Bible study in Omaha? So I'm laying there in this bed with five little boys and she comes over and we start praying every week, the two of us, and we pray and we pray. Then two more come. Then there's four of us praying every week. Then there's six of us and there's eight of us meeting and praying that, Lord, would you have this come? And it did come. And the woman, I don't know. But this was an ecumenical Bible study. And a Protestant woman was going to be the teaching director, and I was just going to be a helper bee. Well, 2 days before it was to start, 70 women were signed up, and the Protestant woman said, it is not me. It has come to me in prayer. I'm not the one.
Isn't that something?
So we go, and she was a woman of prayer. And we go, we are all just in shock. And we go, and we're going to separate and pray for a while and come back. And, I turn on the radio in my car, and it's Sister Ann Shields, and it's the Feast of Elizabeth Ann Seton, and it's her show, and she says, is God calling you to something right now? Something you're not equipped for. Something you say, Lord, I can't do. There are people hungry for God's word. I just started bawling. It was as if the Holy Spirit was in my Suburban. I had to pull over the car, and I just wept, because I knew he was calling me to step forward. At that moment.
Wow, that was another scary step, wasn't it? Do the teaching at a Bible study?
Yes, yeah. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And so we met back together. The regional director was there, and the women said, Sharon, in our prayer time, we think it's you. And I said, well, then I told what had happened. And I said, I will fall flat on my face for the Lord. If that's what he's asking, I will try.
Yeah.
And 2 days later, we started. And I did that for 7.5 years until I started taking classes at the Augustine Institute. And Tim Gray was doing some teaching for the Archdiocese of Omaha to the priest.
It's like a Catholic institution in Denver that helps people get master's degrees and teaches the scriptures and things like that.
Yeah. So I started taking some scripture classes. And then when Tim Gray came to Omaha to teach some priests, he said, why aren't you using this woman in a Catholic capacity? She's teaching an ecumenical study. And my fullness of my heart was to teach the fullness of the truth. I could never take it to Eucharist. I could never take it to Mary.
Yeah.
And John Paul, I read something, I think Catechesis Tridende, that said, to be truly ecumenical is to tell the fullness of the truth with great reverence and respect. And I knew I wasn't telling it all. And I had a tension in my heart. Little did I know my mother was praying rosary after rosary that I could do something Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
Something in the fullness. And then I get the call and it says Archdiocese of Omaha. And I thought, what's this? And it was Father Gutowski inviting me, will you do what you're doing, but do it Catholic? And I said, oh, Father, we need to pray. And we started a novena because Exaltation to the Holy Cross was in 9 days. And we had 9 days. And on day four, I was re-diagnosed with cancer again.
Oh.
Melanoma in my head. And I called Father and I said, well, Father, I know we were going to do this, but obviously God does not want us to. I have cancer again. It's not me. And he said, well, if you don't need chemo or radiation, if they can surgically remove it, that will be our answer to go forward. And that's exactly what happened.
Good. Sharon, I'm really glad that you talk fast because you have a lot to say. I know there's a lot more that's going to be inspiring to people, but let's go back to the melanoma surgery.
Okay. Okay. Well, when the doctor said, he said, we need to do this immediately because I had had sarcoma. Now I have melanoma. And he said, the only day I can, the first opening I have is September 15th. So I get my Magnificat and I look, September 15th, that's Our Lady of Sorrows. That would be a perfect day. And it was because, on that feast day, Our Lady of Sorrows, after the surgery, I had I won't get into the encounter I had, but it was a 10-minute encounter that like I've never had before. And I felt like Our Lady was just telling me, will you help me bear the word to the world.
Wow.
As she did. She was impregnated with the word and she bore him to the world. Will you help me bear the word? Mm. And it was so powerful. And I just, and anyway, exactly what Father said, if you don't need radiation or chemo, we'll go forward. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So you started the Catholic Bible study and it's going great guns.
Yes.
And
yes.
You just told me that actually people can actually take it online from anywhere in the world.
Yes. Yes.
They go to the website, which is www.seekingtruth.net.
Yep.
www.seekingtruth.net.
That's right.
And they can actually sign up for it and hear your teachings and everything online.
And one thing I do, Ralph, is I love images. I love, and the Pope has called us to use images. And we have so many beautiful paintings and things.
You do a lot of artwork with the whole thing.
About 150 slides with every lecture of images. And we use the catechism because we want to be true to church teaching and faithful to the magisterium.
Yeah.
And so, yes, anyone can log on and take it with us.
That's absolutely great. Hey, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your family during this time.
Well,
with a husband who's a neurosurgeon and five boys.
Right. Yeah. Steve is a very busy neurosurgeon and five sons. And, you know, Steve has had the most amazing, I'd say, reversion. He always loved the Lord, but he's an intellectual. He's a, you know, try living with a brain surgeon. Now, he's no rocket scientist, but he is a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
And he, you know, from head to heart, that 17 inches, that's the, you know. And we went to the Holy Land right after the melanoma, and we were discerning about this Catholic Bible study and praying. And we were on the Sea of Galilee in a fishing boat. And Dr. Gray opened up scripture, and it was in Matthew where Peter wants to get out of the boat and walk to Christ. And he read the scripture, and the scripture just pierced Steve's heart. And he said, I want to do that. I want to get out of the boat. I want to get out of the boat. I thought he wanted to go swimming. But he said, I want to be all in. I want to give my life to Christ again. And he was very emotional. He started crying. And we came over and laid hands and prayed on him and prayed with him. And he grabbed a keychain out of his pocket, and it was St. Ignatius of Loyola prayer. Take, Lord, receive all my memory, my will, my understanding, my entire will. Give me only your love and your grace.
So he had a real, like, deeper conversion.
Oh, man. Oh, it was so beautiful. And we came home, and, you know, when a man puts on Christ that way, he doesn't look the same. Hmm. He doesn't act the same. He doesn't, the kids were like, what happened to Dad?
Isn't that something?
Oh, five boys. They're like, Dad seems different.
Yeah.
And we told him what happened, and it hasn't rubbed off. He has come deeper and deeper, and we're walking together this road. And a lot of our people are married couples coming, and a lot of doctors and lawyers and plumbers and electricians, everyone, and all types of people are coming, and men are coming. And Steve does all our filming, and he's just a quiet partner, and he's just. He says it gives him so much pleasure, and it gives the Lord pleasure as we just break open the word together. And he's been so supportive. It's just so beautiful. I'm so thankful.
Well, this is really encouraging because, you know, we all know that women tend to be a little bit ahead of their husbands in perceiving the Lord and following the Lord oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really encouraging, I think, to a lot of the women who may be watching and listening just to hear about what God can do in a husband's life to really bring about a deeper conversion.
And, well, I'm thinking like when God created Adam, he wasn't complete. He wasn't happy walking around the garden with the water buffalo, you know, and God gives him woman. And he says, oh, at last, flesh and bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and woman completes man.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, in our vocation as wives and mothers, we want to bring our husband to the Lord. And I just, it's just so beautiful. And he brings me to the Lord, his insights, as we open the word together, and we're just doing this together to magnify the Lord. And we pray that, Lord, keep us little and keep us small, that you may be exalted and magnified. Yeah. So that's the challenge, you know, just stay little, stay little, stay little.
Yeah. It probably really helps that you're really together in things in terms of the challenge of raising five boys. Being on the same page together, being in the Lord together.
Yeah.
It's pretty vital, isn't it?
It's crucial. And what does the word say? And how can we help this kid through the five boys?
Right.
We've been humbled. We've been humbled many, many times.
Yeah.
And now we can say, what does the word say? And what can we stand on here in God's word?
Yeah.
Together as we make it through this challenge and then this challenge and then the next challenge.
Yeah. What are some of the issues you see the people come into your Bible studies having in their life. Like here, the quote from Pope Benedict that says, the indispensable role to help people hear God's word, to enjoy a personal relationship with God, to show the meaning of forgiveness and evangelical sharing. I imagine not everybody's coming already converted.
No. And that's what I love. And Protestants are coming too. I forgot to mention.
Oh.
Anyone is welcome.
Yeah.
And people are coming with so many crosses. So many crosses we carry, and the challenge to pick them up and follow him. And you know, people on the brink of divorce, or people with kids that have fallen away, and people with a spouse it's just beautiful to see the light bulbs going off. And, you know, doctors that are maybe prescribing contraception and going through Genesis 2 and thinking, oh, wow, maybe. Just light bulb moments for people.
Wow.
I had a guy come up. We had a share night the last evening, and people came up and gave personal testimony. One man said, I didn't want to be here. The first night we came, we were driving the car. I wanted to turn around. My wife kind of drugged me here. And the Lord just touched his heart and just melted. And he said, oh, when does it start next year? When does it start? And all the stories and the excitement in the air, just to be in God's word together. It's such a privilege.
Yeah. And you see over the course of the Bible study, people turning their life over to Christ.
Yes,
and
yes.
Like you say, lights going on, and then repenting and forgiving
and
developing more of a personal relationship with the Lord.
Because we did John's gospel, and you see the sacraments, that reconciliation was huge. And anytime I could bring in catechism and explain it in light of scripture, because Pope John Paul II said, you know, the sacraments will become hollow rituals if they're not understood with the meaning behind them in scripture. It was so beautiful to go through each sacrament.
Yeah, that's really great, Sharon. There's so much more that can be said, but thanks so much for all those yeses in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, in the midst of really difficult things, saying yes to the Lord.
Praise God.
There's so many people out there who are suffering. I wonder if you just would have a word of encouragement.
Oh, I would love to. I know people out there have so many different crosses you're carrying in your life. And Jesus wants to carry the cross with you. And there's power in the cross. Don't run from suffering. The world runs from suffering. We don't want to suffer. We run from it. But I say embrace the cross and just let him work with you. I finally have been able to thank God for my cancer. And that's just been recent. After 15 years, I've finally been able to say, thank you, Lord. Because where it brought me and what going through pain and when it's united with Christ's cross, it's redemptive. It's redemptive for the life of the world. So it's an honor. It's an honor when we get to carry that cross, and we're supposed to carry it every day. And then I'd encourage you to get into God's word. Our church is steeped in God's word. Every sacrament is steeped in God's word. God's word is life, and it's living and active and effective, and it's never void. God's word will never go out empty. It always comes back and fulfills the purpose he intends it for, even for us today. It's a living book. It's written by the Holy Spirit. It's like no other book. People have studied it for over 2,000 years. It's just so beautiful, and it's for you. So get into a Bible study. Get into God's word. Use God's word in your prayer time. Go deeper with the Lord. And if you're suffering, hang on. Hang on. Always have hope. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you. He wants to shower you with his mercy and grace.
Thank you, Sharon. Would you be willing to say a short prayer for folks who are with us?
I'd love to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. We exalt you. And we exalt your cross. Mary, Mother of God, thank you. Thank you for your yes. Thank you for bearing the word to the world. May we be impregnated with the word of God like you were, Mary, and may we say yes. May we say yes to suffering. May we say yes to your son. And bless all the listeners and everyone out there. Bless Ralph and his ministry. Thank you for this ministry, Lord. Thank you for all the people who say yes and help us say yes.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sharon. Really, really appreciate it. And keep up the good work. This is Ralph Martin wishing you the very best. Next week, same time, same place, another tremendous evidence and witness to the reality of Jesus Christ today.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.